You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director here at GNAT TV's News Project. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's also a great pleasure to be joined here in the studio by two gentlemen who are going to be talking to us about the Communication Union District. Many towns around Bennington County, I think about 12 all told, will have that on the town warning as an article that voters will be asked to approve or not. So we're here to kind of give a little background about that and fill you in if you haven't been following what's been going on with all of that. To help us along that line, we have with us today Tim Scoggins, who is the chairman of the Shaftesbury Select Board and is also the, I guess, unofficial chairman of the the task force that has been pulled together to help drive the Communication Union District idea forward, and also Jonathan Cooper, a familiar face to many of you who comes by here quite frequently, and he is the Community and Economic Development Specialist at the Bennington County Regional Commission, and also a member of the task force as well. Gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
And before we get started, I also need to make a note of full disclosure. I, too, am a member of the task force that got organized back last November or December to help push this idea. Normally, when I'm sitting here with a couple of guests, I'm here in a neutral position, neither for nor against whatever the topic is that we're discussing. But you all should know that I've been working with these two folks as well as about a dozen or so other people. Mm-hmm. We've been meeting fairly regularly since December to push forward the Communication District idea. So you should just know that as we go through this conversation. But my goal here is to try and elicit from these two folks who know a lot more about this than I do, I can assure you, kind of what the pros and cons are of the Communication Union District idea is. So, that said, let's begin. And Tim, I guess we'll start with you here. What is a Communication Union District? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, a Communication Union District is a governance structure. It's like a water or wastewater district. Mm-hmm. And it allows, in this case, various towns to band together to try to solve their internet problems, particularly their rural internet problems, as a region, instead of trying to tackle it individually.
Okay, so it's like a government entity, and that allows it, what, to borrow money at favorable rates? Is that the kind of what happens with that?
Yeah, a big part of the financing of this, we suspect, will involve the fact that the CUD can access municipal bond bank money to finance communications infrastructure at a lower rate than an ISP could get at a commercial bank. So we hope that that's part of the attraction of our CUD when we go, when we put out an RFP and try to get an internet service provider to provide the service.
Okay, so it's not just like a group of citizens could say, you know what, I'm dissatisfied with the level of broadband internet service I'm getting. I want to go out there and, you know, change that. There's a difference between something like that and what we're talking about forming with a Communications Union District.
Yes. Well, we think the idea is that by clustering together a large piece of business, say Bennington County or possibly even Bennington and Windham County together, all the people in that area who are unserved or underserved will constitute a piece of business that an ISP will find attractive and sell that as a package and attract providers that we don't seem to be able to attract now just for their own commercial interest.
Okay. So, Jonathan, from your standpoint at the BCRC as an economic development specialist, I mean, what's the compelling argument for this? I mean, as I've looked at the numbers that the state's public service department has posted on their website, it seems like Bennington County is, we wouldn't call it underserved by and large.
No, it's pretty good. I think the state has determined that what they call broadband is really what they say 25.3, so 25 megabytes per second upload, 3 download. And the data that you're referring to shows that about 74% of premises in the state have that 25.3 service or better, and it's 80% in Bennington County. So it's certainly above the state's average. But that does leave one out of five houses sort of at a disadvantage. And when we look at what they consider underserved, truly underserved, that's about 5% of the county. And when we talk to our real estate agents who are operating in the field in Bennington County, it's, you know, in statewide and almost everywhere, what had been an amenity in the 1990s, even in 2000s, is now this comes up within the first 5 minutes of talking about a potential place to live, what the internet connectivity is, what the situation is. And we see that as we try to bring families to the region, as people express an interest in living in rural areas, Vermont has some of the nicest rural areas that you could possibly live in. No one moves here from New Jersey and says, I really miss the billboards that I had back home.
all that concrete.
Yeah, all that concrete and all those billboards, where did they go? But people do have the role of the internet in people's daily lives has obviously grown in the last 20 years. And so, you know, we see that that is becoming an impediment in some ways that can keep people on the shelf, that can keep them from wanting to fully jump. They see all the things they like about, you know, our small towns, our rural hubs, our village centers. But then when it comes to their remote work activities, their online commerce activities, or their daily, you know, where they get their weather from and streaming, without that component, it becomes very difficult to tell someone or to convince someone that this is the right place to live. And we live in an era of small nudges, you know, from, say, $10,000, $7,500 from relocation grants that the state's supporting. These little nudges can be effective if the other pieces are in place. And as time has gone by, we've seen that what had once been an amenity, like an internet cafe that we all, I think, were familiar with 20 years ago, has really moved into the realm of utility, of an everyday use, sort of a facilitating, you know, commerce and residential life, business activities in a way that was not the case years ago. And so and we may talk about some of the legislation later on in the program, but you've seen the state begin to put the pieces in place, as Tim mentioned, to enable this sort of regional solution for these local outcomes.
I guess the analogy is often made that it's comparable to electricity in the 1930s. The Rural Electrification Act that was passed through Congress in 1936, if I recall correctly, made it possible to extend electricity to rural areas and not just in towns where it was profitable for the electric companies to run wires. But the deal was, okay, if you're going to wire up the town, then you got to wire up the farm at the end of the dirt road at the edge of town.
And we're in a very similar position. We're along 7A, you know, as you would expect, the service is quite good. But it is when you begin to move beyond that central spine, those trunk lines, that it becomes kind of touch and go. And it may be the case that one side of the street might have access to the other side of the street. Those houses could, if they have $2,000 or something, to sort of get connected onto that main line. We've seen businesses in our rural reaches have to make those decisions. You know, is this worth the capital expenditure? And that's something that I think we see as being somehow, you know, that's too much of a disadvantage for the rural parts of our towns. And you can take any town in Bennington County, you can make it hard on yourself. You know, there's it doesn't matter which town you're in, there's spots where it is just not where we'd like it to be, and not where it needs to be to sort of be future ready.
And there are enough of those spots that really makes it compelling that we need to kind of, the status quo is not good enough. Essentially.
Yeah, this is a big deal to the people that don't have it. I hear this a lot from my constituents. Shaftesbury is fairly well wired, and wired in our case, and for most places in Vermont, means having Comcast cable to provide internet. The people that don't have that are seriously inconvenienced by it. And it's something that they would really like to see something done about. People who work at home, who or would like to work at home, who can't, who have to make trips to the office to, you know, do a teleconference or do email even sometimes because the non-Comcast solutions are so unreliable.
So, assuming at least two towns, excuse me, as I understand it, that's the basic minimum that need to vote yes on the CUD article. do that. Hopefully, I guess there would be more than two. Although I understand that towns could then join in later via their select boards if they wanted to. Assuming the Communications Union District is formed, what happens next? There's planning money, I guess, that is available from the state to conduct studies to find out, well, what would they be finding out?
Well, yeah, the broadband bill that passed last year has some money set aside for planning grants that would allow CUDs to develop a business plan, do a feasibility study to see if there is enough business there to become profitable, and develop an actual business plan where the business plan would require that this enterprise become cash flow positive in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that will be one of the first things that our CUD will be looking to do, is to apply for one of those grants.
And not to kind of strike a negative note, but if that grant is not approved, would the CUD still be able to go forward, or how, what would happen then?
Well, there are other grants available. There are other planning grants available. There are other grants that go beyond just planning. The federal government does have some money available for actually building infrastructure. So, and we suspect that making this work in the long term is going to very likely require getting some of that money to help offset the cost of building out this infrastructure. So applying for grants is going to be one of the big jobs we're tackling in the early days of the CUD formation.
Okay. So assuming then that all works and the feasibility study is conducted, we'll find out then kind of what the level, what is the level of demand? We'll find out if there are enough people are kind of okay with the service they're getting, and the number of houses that are maybe halfway up the mountain at the end of the dirt road just aren't enough of them to kind of justify anything further. I mean, might that be one of the outcomes that would come out of this?
It could be. A lot of this depends on how many people will actually buy the service once it's provided, and a lot of times in a study like this, a so-called take rate survey is a big part of it, where the citizens will be polled to see how many people in the area they're planning to build out will actually end up buying the service and therefore pay for the build out and the continued maintenance of the thing. Of course, surveys, take rate surveys, are subject to all the vagaries that any survey is these days, when people won't answer their phones. So that's a nut to crack down the road.
Right.
Something we can already start worrying about if we want to.
I guess there's been three rounds of funding for the $700,000 the legislature appropriated last year. And I guess we're down to the final round scheduled to happen after town meeting. Are there other groups elsewhere in the state that are also thinking along the same lines, that, hey, our internet service is really shaky or not good enough for what we need in order to attract new residents or new businesses? And you know, there's a group up in the Northeast Kingdom that's been very active as well. Will there be some sort of competition around all of that, or do you think that there's enough, you know, to go around to at least get the one in Southern Vermont started?
I think there's enough for this third round of grants. At least I'm aware of the Northeast Kingdom study. There is a Central Vermont, but I believe they got a first round grant. There's a Deerfield Valley group. There's a Windham County group. They got a first round grant. So I believe there's six grants available in the third round. I think there are fewer CUDs than that. But the grants don't just have to go to CUDs. A town can apply for that grant. And or in the case of Windham County, with the help of their Regional Planning Commission, they applied for the grant to look at a Windham County CUD as a feasibility before they actually formed the CUD.
So, Jonathan, the BCRC and your counterparts over in Windham County have been talking a lot about regional collaboration across a wide range of areas, and obviously this would be one of them. I think this was one of the first areas I remember hearing about that would be sort of an obvious candidate for some kind of working together. Have there been conversations with your counterparts in Wyndham about, you know, joining forces around, you know, maybe trying to bring about better internet service?
Yeah, there
across
have been
the county?
Some. So as you mentioned, the sort of economic development strategy, the SEDS for Southern Vermont, identified, you know, broadband and internet connectivity as one of those priority areas that throughout the, you know, southern two counties. But as Tim mentions, the timeline for the Wyndham process sort of is underway. They've sort of begun that feasibility planning program and process. So that's sort of in place. The state has, you know, is well aware of that, obviously, as a funder of it, and has seen that in Bennington County, the push to get the question on the ballot has been really well organized, pretty successful with 12 towns. Some other municipalities in other counties or outside of the BCRC, say, service area have also, you know, expressed interest, wanted to stay up to date and see, you know, sort of watching it and seeing how it's progressing. So it made sense to sort of think about maybe down the road how these two elements could align. As it is now, with one entity is sort of on the way to being established and on the way to having some preliminary numbers to, you know, for the Wyndham region to bring to those town meeting days or to have in advance of that, and another region just sort of beginning to get to that process. It seems that maybe in the next 5 or 6 months, they may still be parallel tracks, but that's not to say that there's nothing precluding a sort of a broader regional sort of CUD from taking shape. There's nothing precluding separate CUDs from having the same provider. It's a pretty flexible arrangement, I should say, and we're not trying to find any ways of saying no or this can't work or something along those lines. And it's been encouraging with some of the conversations that we've had at the state level with other providers, with some ISPs around the state. They don't see, if we end up having what are on the books as two separate CUDs, there's no reason to think that they can't sort of have some coordination amongst them. So we'd have, say, two feasibility studies, and we may be able to sort of find ways to stitch that together if that makes sense to, you know, the CUD reps, et cetera, after they've been appointed and designated. Does that seem to square, Tim, with your...
Yeah. In conversations with Wyndham County and the Deerfield Valley Group, everyone is thinking that... A broad Southern Vermont two-county CUD is a likely possibility at some point.
Yeah.
At this point, the Bennington County Group, although they seem to be, we seem to be hitting the ground really quickly and spinning up in terms of getting towns on board to form the CUD. Some of the other people, like the Deerfield Valley, where they have a large area with almost no internet coverage, they've been talking about this problem for quite a while, and some of the towns there, like Reedsboro, have been looking at it from a single town point of view for a little while. So they're not ready to abandon the efforts that they've spun up for a little while and jump on board with a two-county CUD. But a lot of us think that that's the logical unit and the logical size for this sort of thing. The other CUDs that we know of, EC Fiber, and the one that's very likely about to form in Northeast Kingdom, are, in terms of at least the population being served, is on the order of the population of Bennington and Wyndham County combined.
And something to add to that is that it's, while the CUD sort of structure is in place so that these rural stretches of the geographies are served, it's not the case that the customer base can only be people who are not currently adequately served. What we are really hoping to see, what we expect to see, is that by bringing another provider into the mix, the market responds in ways that are beneficial to even people who are not users. That would be ideal, but it's also the case that people who are currently, you know, have adequate service, the service that they enjoy, they're not precluded from partaking of any sort of new provider that comes to town. In fact, the hope is that some people will feel that they would like to take advantage of, say, we should say, the lukewarm feelings that most people have towards their internet providers. It's something that...
What do you mean?
It's something that might serve us well in the end, and it's... you know, I think people do appreciate having, you know, dialing a number that has an 802 area code. I mean, it would be really great to see some providers that are in the area here that are sort of local. I think that's something that can work in our favor ultimately. And certainly when we think about what the feasibility study would show, is it wouldn't just be showing us who's offline right now, but rather just who could come along and be a part of this. And so businesses and residents in our more thickly settled areas are candidates as well, and we'll be reaching out to them for sure.
So one critical point that I keep on hearing over and over again whenever I have conversations with people about this is like who pays, yeah. And can a town ever be sort of on the hook, so to speak, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. money or a town's tax rate impacted? Should it, you know, it either go forward or not? I mean, is there any liability for a town? Should, let's say, you know, cables start being strung and then mm-hmm. somehow or another it just doesn't work? Or, mm-hmm. but my understanding is that there is really is no liability mm-hmm. that a town or the taxpayers face, mm-hmm. and under any scenario of how this eventually plays out.
That's correct. Yeah, there state law prohibits local tax money from being used to fund communications infrastructure. So mm-hmm. even if a town wanted to build their own internet network, they are not allowed to by state law. And the CUDs are mm-hmm. certainly part of that. So no, we cannot at any point go to the taxpayer and say, no. we're almost there. We just need a couple million from you and we'll have the whole thing done. No, that can't happen. This will get funded mostly by the people that buy the service. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying earlier, by grants that we hope to get. Mm-hmm. And also by the advantage that a CUD has of having access to the municipal bond bank and therefore get loans that will allow an ISP to work at a lower interest rate than they would get from a commercial bank. Those are the kind of the magic ingredients that we hope to put together to turn into a piece of business that will attract an ISP to areas that they haven't served before.
And as you look at the municipal bond bank, for example, a lot of its clients are other, I guess what you would, the terminology is a political subdivision of the state of Vermont, and other political subdivisions of the state of Vermont and CUDs are created to be that entity, include fire districts, water districts, school districts. And so there's in the municipal bond bank's sort of roster of clients, you see these non-town of entities. There's also alluded to earlier, Act 79 had directed the Vermont Economic Development Authority to create the Broadband Expansion Loan Program. So that was something that was also meant to assist with build out so that the time from formation, the feasibility, people that want to be a part of it, and now we reach the capital heavy component of build out, that this can sort of help with getting from great idea, pieces are in place, we're ready to go, you know, the consumer base has been mapped out and we feel good about the sort of the take rate that we'll have, to sort of shorten that gap of time. In the manner of EC Fiber, I think they spent about 4 or 5 years fundraising. That they didn't have access to those resources, and that's something that the state sort of learned the lesson there. This is a very successful model. The partnership between EC Fiber and ValleyNet has been sort of instructive for the state, and they sort of tailored that legislation that came out with Act 79 to say, well, what would have been really helpful to have brought that about sooner? And that was one of the elements, that access to that a bridge loan to sort of get up and running after we've done all the due diligence and we have a really strong case to make was something that the legislature took to heart, and we're able to provide this additional tool to the fledgling CUDs that we hope to have formed after town meeting day.
So there's two other areas that I think is important to kind of just touch upon in connection with all of this. And that is the relationship this might have with cell phone service. I mean, I know there's not a direct tie-in, but I've heard the conversation shift around a lot, like, because we've all had those moments when we're somewhere mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're in a dead zone. Would this have any benefit or any impact on eliminating those dead zones, or are they just two completely different conversations?
Probably the answer is no, but there is a little bit of unintended benefit, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. By building out internet service, and we're thinking, and most of the CEDs are thinking, we're going to build fiber optic mm-hmm. network, which will provide what we call future-proof network, which is more internet than anybody's ever going to want forever.
Careful.
Right. No one's ever made a mistake predicting something like that before.
Right.
But the idea that we build out fiber optic cable to places where it's not now, then if somebody like AT&T or Verizon decides they want to serve that area, they can get hooked up to that fiber optic cable that's there easier than they could provide cell phone service to that area now.
Yeah.
No one has yet told me how we put any leverage on somebody like AT&T or Verizon to go into an area and provide more cell phone service than we have now, but at least the possibility is there that it could be easier in the future.
And the part of the feasibility study process is sort of taking stock of what are some available assets that you may not be taking full advantage of. A lot of municipally owned, town-owned structures may have space where a signal repeater or something could go. And it might be, this is sort of a kicking the tires part of the process. And what may come out of that is that there are some potential avenues where there's some, you know, easy wins or relatively low-hanging fruit where perhaps some enhancements could be made. The technology around cell service is getting smaller, and it's finding, you know, more distributed networks than the cell towers of old that are pretending to look like trees and things of that nature. But the hope is that we might see that the technology is really caught up in ways that could really be deployed in a helpful manner. Since the last time we had a real long look from the cell phone, the cell coverage providers. The notion of 5G is a really exciting one. It's worth it to mention that that's really been deployed really just in cities. Even Boston does not have 5G from all four major cell phone providers at this time. So it may be the case that that's a slightly slower boat for us. But as Tim mentioned, the fiber optic cable, the notion of future-proof is that adding bandwidth or adding capacity is much easier through a fiber optic network than it is through our existing copper wires, where we're essentially maxed out. And the only real alternative for the private sector is to undertake the rather expensive replacement of those existing wires and upgrades to those wires. And that's something that is not really a priority for them, and we can understand why. And even when people say, no, no, I'll pay you for it, they come back with what the numbers look like, and they get uptake of perhaps one out of every 100. So they're always sending trucks out to go evaluate what's it going to look like, knowing full well that whatever the number they come back with is, the person who expressed interest is almost assuredly going to say, that's not worth it. That's too much for me. And that's an issue that, whether we're talking about cell phone coverage or internet coverage, that we really are hoping to mitigate with the CUD structure.
Right. So the last question I found myself wondering about it was, okay, let's assume the town's vote, we form the CUD, $60,000 in state money follows accordingly. Who is actually going to string the wire and put up poles or whatever may be necessary to build the actual infrastructure? Is that there are these companies of private internet service providers or ISPs out there that are waiting for people like the three of us to say, hey, man, we need to run wire, up the backside of Shaftesbury and Sunderland and wherever else. It's not a question of the only people who do that are the Comcasts or the Consolidated Communications of the world. There are those private entities that are available.
There is a flurrying or dizzying level of legalese around the existence of the use of existing utility structures, et cetera. But those do exist, those companies do exist, and where the numbers make sense, new infrastructure is certainly part of the conversation. I think that we likely expect that it will be part of the conversation where we're talking about fiber optic cable and reaching into more rural stretches of Bennington County or all of southern Vermont. That's a question that has come up at our task force conversations, meetings. Who is this? Where does this only come from? But it's sort of heartening to know that we've had consultants attending from Maine, people who are coming across state lines to attend these task force meetings. because there is light at the end of that tunnel. There are organizations and companies that do specialize in this work. Utility activity kind of goes on in the background for us, unless it's, you know, we're all waiting for them to clear a fallen, you know, tree limb from the road. But that network is constantly being maintained and upgraded, and a number of entities do exist that can provide that service if need be.
All right. So what folks ought to do then at their town meeting is say yes to wherever the article may be showing up in their warning, and get the show on the road then. That's our next step, and from there we'll find out what there is to be found out.
Yeah, the Southern Vermont Communications Union District is going to be on the ballot, and I think I know the three of us will be in support of it, but the hope is that those watching will feel the same way.
Really, it almost seems like not much to lose, really, a lot to gain, because there won't be...
There really is no downside to voting yes to this. If we fail to make this work, nobody's lost anything, but we certainly hope to give it our best shot.
Right. Well, okay, well... We'll see what happens at town meeting, I guess. That's our next step. And from there, no more buffering when you're trying to download a Netflix video or
exactly.
Something like that. That would be my dream. Anyway, I want to thank Jonathan Cooper and Tim Scoggins for being with us today to kind of walk us through what's going on with the Communications District, the Southern Vermont Communications District. Many of you will see this on your warnings at town meeting, and we'll go from there. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us today. Hope you found the show interesting and informative, and we'll see you again the next time. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.